Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is from that Old Testament reading, as I said a few moments ago, the book of Isaiah, from Isaiah's prophecies. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine, dear friends in Christ. Have you ever wondered or ever thought about how very powerful fear and worry are in our lives? In his book Fearless, Max Lucado says that when fear moves in, happiness moves out. When our hearts are filled with fear, he reasons that there really can't be any room for anything else. You can't be confident and afraid at the same time. Basically, what he's saying is that nobody says that they have a new spring in their step now that he or she worries more. Worry never put a spring in our step. Fear never did unless we're running away from a bear or a mountain lion. See, fear, what it does is it actually grabs us. Worry holds on to us. We find ourselves held by fear knots. That's knots with a K. Fear knots. Those knots in our stomach that we get when we think about tomorrow's surgery or the court date that we have coming up. Fear knots are those things that bind up our hearts when we're concerned about our kids. Fear knots are those things that tie us up and refuse to let us go. Fear actually exhausts our energy. It makes us weak. But the Lord comes to release us from our fear. To those who are fearful and worried, God says to us, "Fear not." We can be hopeful. We can have confidence in God. We can have confidence in His promises. Isaiah 43 tells us that by His word, fear not, God has actually released us from the worries and the fears, those fear nots, if you will, that bind us. Now, talk about fear nots. Israel is bound up in fear nots. They're worried about how God felt about them. After all, they had definitely disobeyed God time and time again. Beginning in the wilderness with Moses, and the people of Israel continually complained and grumbled against God. They doubted His goodness, and they turned away from Him and turned to idols. This continued throughout the days of the judges and the kings. God continually warned His people against this idolatry. But they refused to listen. They would come back for a little bit and then they would turn away again. Instead of changing and repenting, a lot of times they would tell the prophets to stop preaching. They even imprisoned some and killed others. And then, till finally, God had had enough. He'd had enough. At the end of Isaiah chapter 42, immediately before our text, God reminds Israel of what He has done. He says this, "Who gave up Jacob to the looter and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom he had sinned?" A little bit later, "The Lord poured on him the heat of his anger and the might of battle." In other words, God punished Israel for their apostasy, for their idolatry. So Israel was justifiably afraid and worried about how God felt about them. They were also afraid for the future. Yes, God had promised that their exile would only last for 70 years. But would He actually keep that promise? They had sinned against the Lord. They deserved His anger. They'd earned His punishment. Would God still be faithful to His word? Could God ever forgive them? Would God ever forgive them? Would the Lord actually take them home? Those are the knots of fear, the fear knots, if you will, that bound them like chains. Now, you and I aren't that different, are we? Fear, we're often bound by fear knots. Like Israel, we've disobeyed God. We even admit that. In our divine service, we confess that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, and by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. Worse yet, we've actually rebelled against God. David actually writes in Psalm 2, he says this, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." So who are those kings? Who are those rulers who set themselves up against the Lord? Well, I hate to tell you this, but we are. We're the ones. We're those rulers because we want to rule every aspect of our own lives. We want to control everything, even though it's impossible to control every part of our lives. No wonder we tell God that we justly deserve his temporal and eternal punishment. We do. So it's no wonder that we're often afraid of God and we're worried about what he thinks about us. I mean, look at Luther. He was so afraid of God and of his wrath that he nearly fainted when he performed his first Mass. He says during his prayers, he wanted to run away. That's what Luther said when he was conducting his first Mass. When he was at the point of the prayers, he wanted to run away. But of course, we all know that we can't run away from God. We've got to deal with him. And because we're afraid of God, our lives are tied up in fear knots. We don't trust God to take care of us, so we worry about tomorrow. We don't have confidence in God, so we get filled with anxiety. Sometimes that worry and anxiety can actually come out in anger at God or other people. In many ways, we are indeed tied up in worry. We're bound up in fear knots. Of course, we can't say that about Jesus. We can't say that Jesus was bound up in fear knots. Certainly, he was without sinful worry. He was never tied up, prevented, or paralyzed from doing what he needed to do and what he came to do. But just like he came to John at the Jordan River, about to begin his ministry, he comes to John and he sees the prospect of Satan's attacks, his temptations in the wilderness, that certain horrific death and the duty of saving the world before him. He surely knew the terror that was ahead of him. The writer to the Hebrews even says it this way, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears. Jesus knew what was going to happen, and yet he went forward anyway. But then at the beginning of our text, those two words, but now. With these two words, Isaiah comes to comfort the people of Israel. Isaiah comes to comfort you and me. Yes, the Lord was angry, but now his anger is taken away. Yes, he punished his people Israel, but not anymore. Now he will save them. Now he will protect them. He tells them that they are precious, and they are honored in his sight, and that he loves them. The Lord comes to release Israel from their fear knots. And what he says to them is, fear not. But now, fear not, he says. Remember what I have done for you. I created you. I formed you. I redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Those words are so powerful. Words like created and formed take Israel and us right back to the very act of creation. The Lord had made the people of Israel into a nation. More than that, he'd actually redeemed them out of Egypt, punishing Pharaoh and drowning him in the Red Sea. He made Israel his people. He called them by his name. He made them a nation of priests. They belonged to him. And so the Lord says, remember who I am. He's not just the creator. He's Israel's creator. He's not merely the Holy One. He's the Holy One of Israel. And he's not just the king. He is your king. Because the Lord is their God and Israel is his people, they actually can be freed from the fear that they have. And they can have confidence in the Lord. And what God says, then he goes on and talks about passing through the waters, walking through the fire. God says it makes no difference. God is with his people, and he will bring them through. The water's not going to overwhelm. The fire is not going to burn. God will protect them. Fear not, says the Lord, for I am with you. And what God says to Israel, the Father also said to his Son at the moment of his baptism. With Jesus facing the road that 3 years later would take him to the cross, God the Father speaks from heaven and says, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. And when his Son would need him the most, the Father would be there. I am with you. And of course, now in our baptism, God says the same thing to us 100 times over. God has created us. In baptism, he has made us his own, like I was telling the children earlier. He formed us so that we are his people. As Peter reminds us, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. God has actually made us his people. God has made us a nation of priests, and we belong to him. Because he has redeemed us. He has bought us back. The Lord told Israel that he gave Egypt for them and that he gave men in return for you. The Lord has done much more for you and me. He didn't give men in our place. He gave one man in our place. One man, his Son, Jesus Christ. And at the cross, the Lord redeems us. He paid for our sin. He made us his own. You see, at the cross, something miraculous happened. Something incredible. We had disobeyed God. We had rebelled against him. And just like Israel, we deserved his punishment. And we still deserve his punishment. But the Lord did not punish us. He punished his Son. Our disobedience, our rebellion, our sin was laid on him. As Isaiah would say later on in chapter 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. The Lord created us, he's redeemed us, and he has called us. In our baptism, God reaches down from heaven and he places his name on us. He has called us by name, and he said that we belong to him. We are his. And we're his because of what he has done. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't deserve grace. That actually defies the whole meaning of the word grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor upon us. In other words, we didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but guess what? God is gracious. We're not faithful, but God is always faithful. And we didn't choose God. God chose us. Therefore, the Lord is not just the Savior. God is your Savior, and He's my Savior. He's not just the Lord God, He is the Lord your God, just as He is the Lord my God. And so, because God has done all of this for us, you don't have to be afraid of Him. We're His children. And since we are His children, we don't have to be afraid of what life throws our way. We're going to be tested by a lot of trials. We'll be confronted by a whole host of challenges. But the Lord promises to bring us through each and every one of them. Jesus even says it, in the world you will have tribulation. Okay. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Fears besiege us and worries attack us. Too often we find ourselves tied up in fear knots. But the Lord comes to us and He says, fear not. Fear not, for I have created you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you by the blood of my Son. Fear not, for I have summoned you by name in holy baptism. You are mine. Be confident in the Lord. Let His word undo your fear knots. Remember His promise. Fear not, for I am with you. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen and amen.